Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to Genesis 21. Let me say this. I was thinking about this while we were singing that. If you can sing that with a content heart and really say it is well with your soul, you are a blessed person. That is a treasure, the treasure of a clear conscience with God Almighty, that all that you have is His, that He has all of you, and it's well with your soul is the greatest gift God ever gave mankind. And we rejoice in that today, don't we, church? That's a blessing. Well, we have all kinds of people at North Central, and all people are welcome here, every ethnicity, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single. Some are married. Some have been married for a long time, and some just got married. Some have kids, and some don't have kids. Many watching us today and many in attendance today are believers. Many here today are believers, but not all. But we're all here because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together and helps us make sense of the things in life we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church, commands this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups. We just did that at the 9:30 hour. And then we get together in one-on-one meetings and one-on-two or three on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded His church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Now I want you to repeat this after me. Hebrews 10:23. Let's do that one more time. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. Hebrews 10:23. The question for you and I today is, will you listen to God's ways or live and learn only by experience? Will you listen to God's word, or will you only live by experience? A man was in a desert, thirsty. He could not find water, and he looked, and it looked like there was a well there, and he ran with all of his might. He was in his last moment of strength. He gets to the well, and there's this old-fashioned well in the desert, you know, with a pump like this. How many of you know what I'm talking about? A lot of our young people never seen that. I had an aunt that had one of those, and to go pump that water out of that well was pretty cool. So he comes to that well, and he gets there, and there's a jar of water. The well looks so dry. I mean, this rusted out. It looks like there's no way water's going to come out of that thing. He even cranks it a couple times. There's nothing. And so there's a little jar of water with a note on it. And the note says, "Don't drink this water. Pour all of this water into the pump to prime the pump and you'll get water." He had a decision to make. Do I believe the note? Or do I quench my thirst? I'm about to die of thirst. May I suggest to you that our passage today gives us some insight as to two kinds of people. People that will live by the promises of God by faith, or we go our own way and we figure it out our own way using our own ingenuity and coming up with man's way of solving the problem. Oh, the joys of a promise kept. Today we're in chapter 21 of Genesis. This is the story of Isaac being born. I feel like we ought to have a round of applause because we've been going all these weeks with God telling Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a son, and yet he never came, and today he's going to come. Isaac is born is the title of today's message. Oh, the joys of a promise kept. Remember, they had been told by the Lord that they would have many descendants as the sand of the sea. Remember, Abraham means the father of many nations. I wonder what people would say when 100-year-old Abram and 90-year-old Sarah would walk by and they'd say, "My name's Abraham, I'm the father of many nations." I wonder, people knew that they only had one son by Hagar, Ishmael, and I wonder how the people responded. So there was tremendous discouragement over this, I'm sure. But for us, there are huge lessons being taught from God ultimately fulfilling this promise. Now, we're going to go to another scripture here in a minute because we've got to make this comparison. Ishmael represents man's way of dealing with life. All right, you remember God said to Abram, "You're going to have a son," and Sarah could not conceive. And so what did Sarah do? She said, "I want you to have my maidservant. I want you to have my servant Hagar, and you can have a son with her." And Ishmael was born. Ishmael represents man's way of dealing with life. The birth of Isaac is representing living in obedience to God's promises and direction. The question is, which will you do? That's the question. Which will I do? Will you listen to God, or will you figure out how you can get your way? I think about young people. You've got decisions to make, teenagers. Are you going to live according to God's ways, or are you going to listen to this old world out there and all the media and the music and the movies and the entertainment world telling you how to live, how to speak, how to dress, who to date, all these things? Are you going to listen to God's holy word? That's the question for you. I remember being where you are. I know you find that hard to believe, but I remember when I came to know Jesus as a teenage boy, the wrestling that I did to think, am I going to live that way? I think about a businessman in here. To run his business in an honest way, when the old world says, "Hey, you can get ahead by cutting this corner, doing this thing. Hey, just work this little shady deal." You know, there's a difference between what is right and what is legal. So here's a person is deciding which way is he going to go. I think about college students. What's your purpose in life? Are you going to live with a purpose greater than yourself? I think about parents raising kids and training them. The time they spend, the time they give to God's word and God's church to raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. All these things are things we wrestle with. I think about pastors. I think about myself and church leaders. Are we going to grow people? How are we going to grow a church? Are we going to do this God's way? Or are we going to do it man's way? That's an issue in churches today, okay? So how are we going to do it? Well, Abraham was promised in chapter 12, verses 1 and 3, God promised to use Abraham to bless the nations. By the way, that's what this multiply class is all about on Sunday nights, how that the Great Commission didn't just begin in the New Testament, it started in the Old Testament, and it's really been God's story from the very beginning, that God loves all people, and he has a plan that all the nations of the earth might know him. In chapter 17, he was promised the land, Abraham was. In chapter 13, he was promised that his descendants would multiply as the dust of the earth. In chapter 15, verse 4, Abraham will be the father of the coming seed. And then in chapter 17, verse 19, and chapter 18, 19 through 15, Sarah would be the mother of that seed, not Hagar. Because Abraham thought, well, maybe the seed is going to come from Hagar. And so they had Ishmael, but God made it clear, no, the seed is going to come through Sarah. Now, We've been studying Genesis, and we've seen the ups and downs of Abraham's faith, haven't we? We've seen him on the mountaintop, obeying the Lord and doing right, and we've seen him in the valley. Remember when he lied twice that his wife was his sister in order to save his own skin? So we've seen the ups and downs of that. But with all their ups and downs, they walked by faith as our examples. Matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, it says this: by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And when he went out, not knowing where he was going, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with them of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then it says this: by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. That's what we're going to read about today in Genesis 21. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, Isaac is the child of promise. Okay? Isaac represents the spiritual life of promise, living life God's way. Ishmael is the child of the bondwoman. We're going to read that phrase today in several scriptures. The child of the bondwoman, representing the law, representing the fleshly life. The flesh wars against the spirit. And so, church family, listen, the lesson today is this: in all of life, there's always a battle between the spirit and the flesh. And we see that represented in the life of Abraham. This is what we have been studying as we've been studying his life. Now, I want you to look. You've got your place there. Take a pen, put it in your place in Genesis, and I want you to go over to the book of Galatians in the New Testament, because we've got to read this passage in order to get the foundation of this, and then we're going to dig into our text today. Galatians chapter 4, verse 22. Galatians chapter 4. Remember this: Isaac represents the child of promise. He represents the spiritual life, living life God's way. Ishmael is the child of the bondwoman, representing the law. And we see that really through the Apostle Paul strongly in this passage in Galatians chapter 4, verse 22. It says, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, 'Rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband.'" Verse 28, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise." Verse 29, "But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him," and we're going to read about that today, "who was born according to the Spirit, even so is now." Talking about Ishmael being born according to the flesh, man's way, Isaac being born according to the Spirit, and how Ishmael actually persecuted him. We're going to see that. Verse 30, "Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? 'Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman.' So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." All right, now go back to Genesis chapter 21, and let me read some verses here. I'm reading from Genesis 21, verse 1. You follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read from my copy. This is Genesis 21, 1. "And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh. Isaac actually means laughter. She says, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. Now look at verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Some of your versions may say laughing, because it's the same word for laughter. Verse number 10, therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. Verse 17, and God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Verse 19, then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Now, I want us to first of all look at the joy of God's way. The joy of God's way. We're going to contrast God's way and man's way. And church family, in all of our lives, we face these decisions every day. We face these decisions, big decisions, not necessarily every day, about trusting Christ or not trusting Christ. But in other ways, when God gives us a direction of obedience, the note, like the note on the little jar of water, what are we going to do? Are we going to believe the note? Are we going to believe the word? Or are we going to go our own way and do what is expedient and solve the problem ourselves? So the first thing we see in this passage is the joy of God's way. Well, the Lord keeps his word, because in verse 1 it says the Lord visited Sarah. It was supernatural. Abraham was 100 years old. She was barren. There's no way she could have had a child, and yet God visited her and allowed her to conceive. Notice it's in God's timing, not man's timing. Matter of fact, three times in verses 1 and 2, it talks about the timing. The first thing it says in verse 1, it says, verse 1 says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and then it says, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. It's in God's timing. And then look at verse 3. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. So church family, it's in God's timing, not man's. God is the one who sets the times. We want our answers immediately, don't we? We want our answers immediately and let God. And yet the Lord says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The hardest part sometimes in the Christian life is waiting. Is waiting. And so we see in this the joy of God's way. The Lord keeps his word. It's in God's timing, not man's timing. We see that in this passage. Now, he does it for this reason, because he does such a miracle that only God gets the glory. They were barren. There's no way they could have had children at that age. It was crystal clear. The Lord waited so long that it would be clear that God had done a miracle. As a matter of fact, in the book of Romans, chapter 4, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it, but if you want to write it down, Romans 4, 17 to 21, it says this in verse 18, "Who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be." Verse 19, "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead." The scripture says his body was dead to have children, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So the Lord waits many times to a time that he will get the glory. You see what I'm saying? And so we see that. It was such a miracle that God gets the glory. Abraham was 100 years old. But then when God's promise is fulfilled, there's overwhelming joy that takes place. Look at verse 6. "And Sarah said, God has made me laugh." Now, this is a laughter of joy. Now, you remember, she laughed before. She laughed before in unbelief. When she first heard she was going to be the one to give birth, that same word is used, but the flavor of the word is she was laughing in unbelief. Oh yeah, that's a joke kind of thing, like I'm going to have a child. Well, here she was laughing with joy. It was the difference. And that is the joy that comes when you live God's way. That is contrasted with what we're about to look at in verses 8 and following. So the first thing we look at is the joy of God's way. Here's the second thing, the cost of man's way. Probably 3 years have passed. It says in verse 8, "So the child grew and was weaned." So that in that day and age, 2-3 years probably had gone by. Ishmael was born when Abraham was 86. So if you take those 14 years to get to Abraham being 100 when Isaac is born, and then you add those years before he was weaned, maybe 2 or 3 years, you're looking at a 16-year-old Ishmael or a 17-year-old Ishmael and a 3-year-old or a 2-year-old little boy named Isaac, all right? Let me say something about this. When we think about the cost of man's way, sin makes life complicated. Here was Abraham and Sarah. God had chosen Abraham to be the father of a great nation that would be, that all the nations of the earth would be blessed in him. And yet they solved what they thought was a problem in their own way. They sinned and went in a different direction, and guess what? It caused life to be complicated. Sin makes life complicated, and it brings consequences. I've seen that in my life in many, many ways, church family, and I've seen it as someone who's tried to encourage people spiritually. Let me say to our young people today, you obey the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, and you will be so glad that you did. Life gets real complicated when you start living it your own way, because the more you stray from God's holy word and God's ways and the ways of God's word, then life will get more and more complicated and difficult as it goes along. And here we see this, because here's Abraham who's celebrating. He's celebrating the birth of Isaac. And yet something's going to happen. It grieves his heart. Obedience is the blessed life. That'd be a good place for an amen. Amen. Are you there? Amen. Y'all got to get wound up here today, okay? You know, I love the way Robert and our team lead us in worship. I tell them, and listen, what they do, it comes with my blessing, but they do it, okay? And I'm just a recipient of all that they do in the music. But one thing that I say to them is I want our worship to be enthusiastic. Because the word enthusiasm comes from two words, means in God, theos, in theos. When you get God in you, you can't help but be excited. Now, there are times when we're not as excited, but when we gather together in worship, then we are to be enthusiastic about the things of God. So that's why I say that would be a good place for an amen. Amen, church? Amen. All right, thank you. So anyway, but here's what happens. Here's what I want to say. Obedience is the blessed life. Now, let me say this. Not necessarily the easy life. There's a difference between an easy life and a blessed life. I went on a mission trip one time to Mexico, and it really shook me up. I was in a youth ministry. We were going to bring 250 teenagers on a mission trip. Man, I was on top of the world. We went and visited with these people, and I have never seen such poverty in my life. And they said, before y'all go back to Florida, we want to sing with you. And these poor people, many of them lived in the city dump in that little city in Mexico. But they were believers in Jesus. One guy grabbed a guitar, Robert, and he started playing. And they started singing, and tears came down their eyes. And I sat there and I thought to myself, they're happier than me. They're more content than me. I'm going to leave this meeting today and I'm going to find me an Outback Steakhouse with my colleagues that are with me on this trip. And man, we've been waiting for something good to eat. We're going to get it. They have nothing to look forward to where they're living. And they were happier than me. And that shook me up. You know what I realized that day? Contentment doesn't equal things. Contentment and peace. I say this too often, but I got to say it again. The word peace in the Bible is a powerful word. It's like the word wholeness. You can't put a price tag on it. That's why that song, It Is Well, is so powerful. It is well with my soul. And I realized that they had something I didn't have. They had contentment, and I thought I had what should have made me happy. And they were happier than me. I'm just going to say this to you. You can take it for, you don't have to believe it because I can't make you believe it. But I want every teenager in here and every child in here, and I want every college student in here, and I want every young couple in here, and I want everybody in here to know this. Obedience is the blessed life. You mark it down, you take it to the bank. Obedience is the best blessed life. Now, it's not necessarily the easy life, but it is the blessed life. Well, what happens in verse 9? In verse 9, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. He was scoffing. He laughs. Some of your versions may say laughter. My version said he's scoffing because it's the same word. It's a play on a word there. It means to mock. He laughs as a scoffer. He's laughing in a mocking way. Now think about this guy. By the way, we're not going to read it again. We already did. But Galatians 4:29, Paul makes it clear that this laughter or scoffing is actually persecuting. It's a mocking laughter against this little child, okay? Now imagine, we're talking about a 16, 17-year-old kid belittling and laughing and scoffing at a little baby boy, a little toddler, okay? So Ishmael scoffs. Conflict between Ishmael and Isaac is likened to the conflict between the flesh and the spirit. Get that principle there. Conflict between Ishmael and Isaac is likened to the conflict between the flesh and the spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, it says this, "I say then, walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Okay? So we see Ishmael scoffing. This is the cost of man's way. It brings grief. It brings difficulty. And look at Abraham's dilemma. Is he going to go God's way or man's way? Sarah comes to him and says, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son," in verse 10. I don't know if she had a mother's intuition, you know, a mom senses danger for their little one. And she just had it. And she comes to Abraham, she says, "Listen, the bondwoman and Ishmael have got to go. This is not a good situation." And so here's the dilemma that Abraham's in. Now Abraham is the friend of God, a man of faith, our example of faith, and yet because of going man's way previously, he's dealing with this now. And so, he's in a dilemma. And she says, "He shall not be heir with my son." She demands it. And then look at verse 11. It says, "And the matter was very displeasing to Abraham." And that phrase, to be displeasing, means to shake violently. You're talking about wringing your hands over difficulty. This is what happens when we intertwine our lives in willful sin against God. And so this is what happened. And so this is the dilemma he's in. But now here's something that is a shimmering hope out of it. God steadies Abraham, okay? In verse 12, he says, "Do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad and because of your bondwoman. Listen to her voice." This is one of Kelly's favorite verses. I'm kidding, honey. She's never said that to me. But I thought about that. "Listen to her voice." It says, "In Isaac your seed shall be called, and I will make a nation of the son of the bondwoman." God is basically saying, "I'm going to take care of this. You obey and do right. You got to eliminate the flesh and the spirit are going to fight. Ishmael and Isaac are going to fight." And so the Lord settles or steadies Abraham. He says, "I'm going to make a nation of the son of the bondwoman." And by the way, he had already said that in 17:20, Genesis 17:20. And he says it in Genesis 21:13, our passage, and then verse 18 as well. And so here's what Dr. Warren Wiersbe says about this. Wiersbe says this: the Arab world is a force to be reckoned with, and it all started with Ishmael. That is basically the conflict. There has been conflict between Ishmael and Isaac from the very beginning. Do you see it? All right. So God steadies Abraham. And so what does Abraham do? He sends him away. But here's what happened. God sends mercy even in judgment. Because in verse 17, God heard the voice of the lad. He says, "What ails you, Hagar?" in verse 17. Isn't that interesting how the Lord asks us questions? Sometimes he already knows the answer, but he asks us questions, doesn't he? He says, "What ails you, Hagar?" Then he says, "Fear not, for God heard the voice of the lad. Arise and lift up the lad. I will make him a great nation." God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water in verse 19. So God was with the lad and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran and his mother took him a wife from the land of Egypt, verse 21 says. So God took care of him. Even in the midst of that judgment, God took care of him. But you see that divide, and then in Galatians, it is used as an analogy of us fighting the flesh against the spirit. Man's way or God's way? Let me say this. When you think about the joy of God's way, and then you think about the cost of man's way, I repeat what I said a couple of weeks ago. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. R.G. Lee, the great preacher at Bellevue, said that many years ago. So we see in this passage of Isaac being born, we see the joy of God's way, we see the cost of man's way. But here's the third thing, and we didn't read this passage, but the third part of this section is God's enduring witness. God has an enduring witness. Look at verse 22. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech, another leader in that area, and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham saying, "God is with you in all that you do." God has an enduring testimony in church family. As we live God's way, it is a testimony to others. Psalm 23, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his sake," his name's sake. That's right, for his name's sake. So there's a recognition of God's favor. There's an enduring witness that happens in, you see, God's enduring witness in this passage. And as a result of that, Abimelech wants a covenant with Abraham. And so he makes a covenant with him. If you read that passage, you're welcome to read it. I'm not going to read the whole passage. But he makes a covenant. There's a well that there was a dispute over. And Abimelech saw that God was with Abraham. And because of the testimony of God being with Abraham, God granting that promise, he wanted that covenant. So he makes the covenant. And notice, at the very end of our passage in verse 33, it says, "Then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba after they made that covenant, and there called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God." All right? He's the everlasting God. Well, the Lord, Abraham already had the name El Olam. That is the name, the everlasting God, El Olam. He already knew the name El Elyon, the God Most High, from chapter 14, verse 19, and El Shaddai from chapter 17, verse 1, which means the all-sufficient one. So here's another name of God that Abraham recognizes, all right? So he planted the tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And church family, He's our everlasting God. He never changes. So, here's the question. Will you listen to God or learn only by experience? Will you listen to the Lord or live by solving it your way? Ask our young people. You can either learn about life from those you trust. You never want a child to put his hand on the stove. So you say, don't put your hand on the stove. Now you can either believe your parents to not put your hand on the stove, or you can put your hand on the stove and you'll never do it again. So the question is, how are we going to live? And the question is, does God keep his promises? See, that's the dilemma. When God makes a promise, is he going to keep it? And the devil comes in and says, oh no, he won't keep that promise. You better solve this yourself. I did a little Bible study several years ago on Sunday nights here on the promises of God. We have Bible promises about heaven, Bible promises about how to overcome discouragement, the promise of forgiveness, the promise of guidance, the promise of strength, the promise when we forgive others, the promise of peace, the promise of love, the promise of victory over temptation, the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of patience, how to overcome worry, promises to help you overcome worry. God is sufficient. All these promises we have, are we going to believe them, or are we going to go our own way, put our hand on the stove, and only learn by experience? Well, the guy went to the jar. He was so thirsty. And the little note said, pour all the water in the well. It will prime the pump. So he had a decision to make. He could either drink it right then and get that little cup of water in his parched mouth, or he could hope for a gully washer. Somehow, he decided, I'm going to take this guy at his word. He took that little cup and he poured it down there. It was all gone, every drop. He said, okay, here I go. You ever done one of these? They do this a lot. They don't do anything for a while. And then they catch. You ever done that? You ever primed a pump like that? And you go in like that and all of a sudden you feel it. It's coming. And all of a sudden, man, he sat there and drank water. He had the biggest belly of water you've ever seen in his life. And then, you know what he did? He put water back in that jar and he put that note around there and he underlined it. And he left it for the next person. Young people, you know what your parents are trying to do? They're trying to leave you a note that says, go by the directions. Trust me. You know what God's doing in all of our lives? He's giving us his direction. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths. One of the strongest promises in the Bible is probably the most well-known verse in the Bible. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is a promise. You can go to the bank on God's promises. He told them, you will have a son. And guess what? We read about it today. God keeps his promises. So what are we going to do, church? Are we going to go man's way in our lives with decision making, the way we live our life, or are we going to go God's way? That is really the dilemma of all life. And we see it personified in chapter 21 of Genesis. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.